I'm just going to share a lot of things with you that the Lord's been teaching me in the area of praise and worship. First of all, I'll give a little background. Somebody look up Isaiah 29:13. Isaiah 29:13, just begin reading when you get it.
Then the Lord said, because the people draw near with their words and not only with their lips, they remove their hearts far from me and their reverence on the condition learned by rule.
Okay, Jesus said this same thing in Matthew 15:7. Matthew 15:7. Read it. You hypocrites, did Isaiah prophesy of you, saying, this people honors me with their lips, but their heart is far away from me. But in vain do they worship me, teaching as their doctrines the precepts of men. So I look at the idea. I had some books and reading about it. Ministry to the Lord. Ministry to the Lord, ministry to the saints, ministry to the world. Different types of ministry that I see. And here again, I'm not in conflict with anything that's going on. I really am not. The Lord, I think the Lord is wanting to give us a balance, just like he talked about this morning. Boom, 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 boom. And one of those areas is devotion to the Lord and praising him and loving the Lord. Just like that husband-wife relationship, parent-child relationship. How long has it been since you have written your dad and said, Dad, I love you? How long has it been since you just... You know, I just really appreciate, man, what you've done for me and everything. Not after he sent $100, you know, or not right after he paid your semester or did whatever he did for you, but that he was your dad. And of course, for instance, that's one of the problems we have because of the relationship with our dad. I don't think he's my dad. I don't like my dad. You know, I mean, so I have a hard time loving God the Father, but that's a whole different area. All right. Minister to the Lord, minister to the saints, minister to the world. I minister to the Lord would urge us manward. Reverse these and we're many times become up powerless. We get so weary ministering to the world. We get so weary ministering to the saints. And lastly, we have enough time, we'll minister to the Lord. You know, and there, I looked up this word minister and I won't go into that. My pastor helped me see some of the Greek and all, and it's different types of things. There's some all kinds of areas of ministry. But I look at, let me stay with my notes. I've got to stay with my notes because I get off on chasing rabbits. All right. Our ministry to the Lord will urge us, men, reverse these, and we are powerless many times. The reason we were created to please Him. You know, if you have a chance to look up please or pleasing or pleasure, you know, God is was pleased to make us. You know, one of the first things that he said of Jesus, you know, before he had done anything. Now, I'm sure, you know, that we don't know what all he'd done between 1st and 30. You know, but he did teach in the tabernacle at one time at 12. Before he'd done any disciple-making, any teaching, or anything like that, he was baptized, and the dove came down, and God said, this is my son whom I am well pleased. So he finds pleasure in us. We are pleasing to Him. Okay. The traditional ways that we bring pleasure to God, we minister to others, we give our tithes, we memorize Scripture, we make disciples, we give our time, we're being a good student, being a good servant, you know. But another area that I'm going to talk about, and all these are good, this morning that I'm talking about is ministering to Him through praise and worship. Let's go to the Old Testament. Let's look at some of these areas. And help me with the scripture, if you will. Deuteronomy 10:8. 1 Samuel 2:18-3:1. Samuel 2:1-10. That's about when Samuel was in the tabernacle ministering to the Lord. That's what that is. Don't have to worry about that. Look, do read Deuteronomy 10:8.
Somebody. At that time, the Lord set apart the tribe of Levi to carry the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord, stand before the Lord to serve him and to bless in his name until his day.
Okay. All right. What I want to show you in this idea, and I'll cut this down short, is if you go back and study the tribe of Levi, you know, they weren't counted with the other tribes. They were set apart. They were pulled out because what happened was that the children of Israel flunked out. They really did. And, you know, he was going to make them a great nation, you know, and he told them all these things, and if they would do this, let's look up Exodus 19:3. Quickly look at that. I'm trying to just give you some background before we go on. Exodus 19:3 through 6. Somebody read that.
And Moses went up to God, and the Lord called to him out of the mountain, say this to the house of Jacob, and tell the Israelites, you have seen what I did to Egypt, and how I bore you on eagle's wings and brought you to myself. Now therefore, if you will obey my voice and choose and keep my covenant, then you shall be my peculiar possession and treasure for the among and above all peoples for all the earth of heaven.
Okay. If you'll obey me, if you'll keep my commandments, then I'll make you a peculiar, special people above all the earth, a kingdom of priests, a holy nation. You know, the commitment was made, boy, and they said, all said yes. You know, we will. And a couple of chapters later, you know, they were worshiping a calf. You know, and they just flunked out. And so, I don't like to use this term, but God had to go to plan B. Now, that was plan A. I believe that he wanted to make that nation a nation of priests and a holy nation. But because of their disobedience, he went to plan B. So he said, okay, we'll pick out the tribe of Levi. And they'll do what I wanted them to do, what I originally wanted them to do. And a good study is to study the tribe of Levi and all the priestly tribe, all their priestly deals that they had to go through and to go into the presence of God. Only, of course, the high priest once a year went into the Holy of Holies. You know, you studied all of that and everything. But what I want you to see is that we have become the priestly tribe. You know, because Jesus, what he's done, he's our high priest. We have become the priestly tribe. And we're, as we minister to the Lord, okay, let me see. Of course, the bear, the Ark of the Covenant, all these study. But that'll be a good study for you if you're interested sometime as you study the duties of the tribe of Levi. Somebody read 1 Peter 2:5. First Peter 2:5, and
you also, as living stones, are being built up as a spiritual house for a holy priesthood to offer up spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God through Jesus Christ.
Okay, and read 9.
Okay. But you are a chosen race, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people for God's own possession, that you may proclaim the excellencies of him who has called you out of darkness into his marvelous light.
Mm-hmm. Grace, amazing grace, through Jesus. Now we're the tribe of Levi, we're the priestly tribe. Now we have entered into what we were originally supposed to be back there because of what Jesus has done. And we need to appropriate all this, and that's another whole sermon. But yet, this is your position as we're talking about now. We are priests of the King. God's purpose has been accomplished in Christ, for through Jesus, each believer becomes a priest unto God to bear his presence, and to stand before him, to minister to him, and to bless in his name, and to bless his name. You know, the psalmist says, bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Bless his holy name. You know, I often wonder, why should I bless God? You know, I mean, God bless me. You know, why don't I want to bless God? You know, I'm unworthy to bless God. This is why God made us. This is his character. He wants you to bless him. You know, he wants you to praise him and worship him. In turn, God gives himself to us, and he becomes our inheritance. How glorious. You know, they didn't get to get any land. You know, the tribe of Levi, they didn't get any land or anything. They just inherited God. That was their inheritance, was God. And hallelujah. All right, ministry involves three different areas: praise, worship, and communion. Praise, worship, and this is not all inclusive. This is just an area that I'm talking about this morning. Praise, worship, and communion. No more bloody sacrifices. Hallelujah. You know, we don't have to do a lot of that. The bloody sacrifices. Now in Hebrews 13:15 it says, offer the sacrifice of praise to God continually. And that's why some of these crazy people go and say, praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Sometimes we kind of say it off the side of our mouth, but yet continually praising God. The difference between praise and worship. Praise involves responding to God for what He has done. All right, let me say that again. Praise involves responding to God for what He has done. Just like we had Lenny up there this morning, and we praised Lenny. You know, he was one of our leaders, and we ought to get all the people around. But of course, you don't want to do that, you know, because you don't want to receive any praise. But we can praise men. And that's one of the areas we can. We can praise men. God has allowed us to praise men, and we can praise God. But now, if we worship, we cannot worship but one area. Just to ask you, what gets you excited? Now, to me, I can get excited about a slam dunk. I just at a basketball game, you know, when he break away, you know, and they go down the court, go wild, you know, and I'll get up and go, yeah! You know, I just get excited about that, and get excited about a football game. I got a picture right here for you OU fans. But sometimes you have to see. It's my family. We're getting ready to watch the Orange Bowl, and we've got handkerchiefs on right here, tied around. That's a fanatical OU fan. It really is. And so you get a picture like that. Look at it. So. I hope all of you know what that means. I showed it to the people today and I said, oh, that's a nice picture. They were out of the country whenever that happened, you know. They don't know a lot where the handkerchief went. I see it. But there's a lot of things that we get excited about. You know, we really get excited about. And my pastor said before, what you rejoice in is what you end up worshiping. You know, what you really rejoice in is what you end up worshiping. And, of course, the scriptures say, rejoice in the Lord, always. Okay. I say rejoice. Rejoice in the Lord. All right, let me skip on down to worship. Worthy means giving something to God. You know, we look at, in Genesis 22, and I don't look it up, it's the story of Isaac, of course. And that's the first time that worship is used. You know, the idea that God giving, Abraham giving Isaac and sacrificing him to God. I got another scripture here. Let me see. Make some notes about it. This whole area is so exciting to study that, just to read about. All right. Isaac's question. You know, Isaac, when he was headed, he says, behold the fire and the wood, but where is the lamb? When we are going to worship God, we should seriously consider the question, where is the heart? Is that ready to be offered up to God, to send to Him as a burnt offering? Of course, Abraham's answer to him, my son, God will provide Himself a lamb. And, you know, the question's asked, was this a statement of faith or a statement of just total obedience? And I think it's either both. Both the statement of faith and obedience. But the idea of giving something to God, worship. Of course, what Abraham was doing was giving total obedience to God. Worship. Worship centers around the word love. You know, I told you just a little bit about the story this morning about the person who's getting ready to speak. And right before getting ready to speak, the vision came and Christ was there and he was sad because they'd sung about him, talked about him, and done everything about him, and even the sermon was going to be about him, you know. But the idea, and the person telling the story said that when they got up, they said, let's just pause and just honor the Lord and worship the Lord. And so the whole idea was focusing on him. I did this in my choir one morning. I said, they were in there trying to get ready and everything. I said, we got a special guest. Billy Graham. It was, you know, this girl's going back in there, you know, and the fellow's going back in there. And they got in there real quick to go over the anthem one more, the song one more time. It was just a difference in excitement because Billy Graham was going to be there. And I started to use Jimmy Carter. It was a time when Jimmy Carter was coming down to the Cape. That's where we live, right there at the Cape. And I was, and there was a possibility that he was going to come to church there or something. But that was too political. When I started to say Billy, I used it on one. The first choir used that, and it said, well, I don't care, you're her. So I decided I'd use somebody kind of neutral, somebody that everybody loves. But anyway, and right before we went out there, I said, I lied. And I said, the Lord is here. He's going to be here. And the whole countenance change. So many times we just go through the idea of worship and praise, and he is worthy of worship. Of course, in the Revelation, when they couldn't find anybody worthy to open the book. Worthy. So praise without worship is not enough. Worship centers around the word love. Okay, now we get down to the New Testament and all the story of Mary and Martha. And we'll cut it short because you know it. But Martha was in there working and Mary was sitting at his feet. And he makes the statement, there are only three things that matter. And then he changes and he says, that really only one. I'd like to know the other two. Sunday, have you ever thought about it? Because he seemed to change his mind. He said, there's only three things that matter. And he said, really, no, there's only one. And Mary's found that one. All right, now, you disciples, you can take this and go with this. On one side of it, you can say that Jesus was teaching Mary. Jesus was teaching Mary. But in another area, another story, Mary was the one that anointed him. And that, with that precious ointment. I think she was just loving him. Just sitting there listening to him and just loving him. Oblivious of the work and going on and everything. Now, there's got to be a balance. There's got to be the work going on. There's got to be Martha's going on and everything else. But I think the motives, he was mainly speaking about the motives. Nothing we can do ever can acceptably substitute for worship. Consider the plight of the widower who hires a housekeeper and a cook and a nurse and even maybe has him a mistress. We want to keep it clean, so we'll say housekeeper, cook, and a nurse. But it would never take the place of his wife that's died. He can hire him. All these things that are done. Neither does our service substitute for loving God and worship. Still, service is a part of our Christian walk, and it's not an either-or situation, but a both. That's why you need to get the balance. That's why on the quiet time, your quiet time can become so can become kind of stale. The routine of getting up every morning at 5 o'clock and spending 30 minutes alone and sit and read. Try breaking it every now and then, just spending 30 minutes of just loving the Lord. And if you don't know what to say, we're going to get into some of that in a minute in the Psalms or the hymns and all. But just quote some scripture back to him. Quote some Psalms back to him. And just spend some time and just loving him. Loving him. The picture, and of course this is with the husband and wife, the marriage, and then the wedding night. Let's look at your annual. Let's look at your annual. I want to just learn more about you. Idea, but hey, wait, you're learning a lot about me, but here I am right here. And the bride turns to the groom and says, open arms, and I'm yours. And so, the idea of a love relationship with the Lord, I've heard my wife say so many times that a lot of the women who are going through all kinds of stuff with their husbands, they just need to fall in love with Jesus. You just need to fall in love and love and love and more in love with Jesus. Tell us you need to do the same thing. Just learn to love. Learn to love and learn to express your love. We're so busy working for God that we have no time for God. Activity can become the enemy of adoration. As surely as service can become a substitute for submission and supplication. You know, there's a good... I can talk about the charismatics. I can talk about them. You know, but I learned a lot from them. I learned a lot about worship and praise and love from them. I had the opportunity to go to an Episcopal charismatic church there in Houston when I was going through a lot of... See, part of my testimony, the Lord stripped me of everything. I was asked to leave my church, and then I went. I just put out in the desert, and I had a job, and I wasn't going to sing anymore. I wasn't going to minister anymore. I mean, I came to that point. I came to that point where the Lord said, "You're not going to do that anymore." And it's not a point where He said, "Well, if I get over this test, I know something's down the road." You know, it wasn't one of those things. He just stripped me of everything. Praise the Lord, He didn't take my family. But anyway. Then He began putting me back together. But during this time, we looked all around. You know, when you're hungry, you eat a lot of things. You know, I saw the other day, you know, picking out a garbage can. You know, that's no reflection on in preference that charismatics or Episcopals or anything like that. You know, disregard that. But what I'm saying, I was desperate and hungry. And whenever there's something going on over here, We'd go over here where the action was or whatever. You know. So we went through. And one of the things I learned from was this praise and worship. Went into this on Friday night. There was this Church of Redeemer. They were named Church of the Year by Guidepost Magazine in 72. But during that time, we would go every Friday night to a praise and worship. And many as 1,000 people would be there on Friday night. But it was quiet. You'd just walk in the place and be healed emotionally. I was just born. I mean, well, you can imagine just being stripped of everything and dying to sell. That's what was happening. But I just walked into that place. But I noticed out of them a love and a praise and a worship. And all of them, during that time, I went to the Full Gospel Businessmen, you know, and see these sophisticated businessmen who own their own business. And, you know, I mean, real. Like that. Let's worship the Lord. Hallelujah, praise the Lord. Like that. They just break. Real sophisticated, you know, they really weren't. And I'd sit there and look. And I've been to, I haven't been to OU Texas game, but I went a couple of times to an Ole Miss LSU game. And just the electricity, and, you know, and everything. And, you know, Full Gospel Businessmen. And here again, I'm not into pro or con. I just said what I observed when I went in there, and we would go to their meeting. And I'd see an excitement in there. There was just a tingly thing that, wow, you know, that they just seemed to love the Lord. And I just pondered, you know, as Mary, I think, I just pondered all these things just in my heart, just kind of kept them. I said, hey, there's something wrong. But that was during our desert time and looking and searching and seeing what was going on. But what I was saying, that in the area of submission and supplication, I've shared with a lot of charismatic, you know, and boy, praise the Lord, that's where it is, praise the Lord. And you ask him to do something and submit to anybody, then that's a whole different story to a lot of, you know, nobody's going to tell him what to do, you know, and that's not just charismatic, that's a lot of people, you know, and service, or let me see, let me go back and quote it again, and my wife says, she said, you just wear them out, just talk to me. That's why she added another thing. Okay. Nothing can do. Still, service as part of our Christian walk is not an either or situation. No, that's not right. Okay. Activity can become the enemy of adoration, as surely as service can become the substitute for submission. And supplication. I mentioned it this morning how many marriage partners become so engrossed in doing for the other party that they no longer take the time to love and adore one another. You know, this is what happens. You know, over the years you say, well, we've been together 20 years. And why are they splitting? You know, they were so busy with the children and making a living and making the house right and everything. And they didn't come together and go off for a weekend. you know, you just need a weekend, you know, and be alone. So whenever y'all get married, you remember that, okay? The love that drew them to each other is consistently rejected and neglected and has been replaced with service to each other. So like you said this morning, you know, what drew you to Jesus? It wasn't, you know, the discipline. You know, it was love. You know? And as I said this morning, when I made Jesus Lord, and I wanted to be the best servant I could be. And that's good. But then I got into a bondage of performance. And then when I found out that the Holy Spirit was a teacher, and I became the best student I could be. But then in the last few years, I don't know where I've been. I don't know if it's God's revealing this and patterns, but I discovered Him as Father. And I just need lap time. You know, I just need some lap time. I get tired. And just going in there for some lap time. He's ready to give you some lap time. You just love Him. And let Him love you and minister to you as you minister to Him. You know, the heavy emphasis. You know, one, I do a lot of marriage counseling, and one of the areas is the heavy emphasis is on should. You should have known I loved you. You should know I love you. Husband says to wife, you know, will you tell me you love me? Well, you know I love you. You know I love you. And with all that y'all are doing, you know, God already knows I love Him. Yeah, but I don't know, for some reason, He likes to hear it. He likes to hear that you love Him. Okay, why do we worship and fulfill a commandment? Number one, to meet needs in our spiritual nature. It gives pleasure to God. I don't know why it gives pleasure to God, but He said it, and that's part of His nature to receive worship. Fulfill a commandment of God's Word to meet needs in our spiritual nature. It gives pleasure to God. And here again, you get in another ditch. I remember one time when I found out about this praise the Lord. I read Crowe's books, and you know, all you have to do is just praise the Lord. You know, just ask Him, and then you just praise Him for 3 days. You know, and for 3 months, I just raised my hand and just praised the Lord. I thought that was good because it was going to get done by me praising the Lord. Well, I lowered my hands and not much had gotten done. I mean, I'd had a good time and I'd been edified, but not much had been done. And it reminded me of the story. And I never could really figure this story out until I came to this point about the farmer and the preacher. And the farmer, the preacher came to visit the farmer, and the garden was all just rolled down and boy, the yard was landscaped so beautifully and everything, and everything just looked beautiful. Farmer worked real hard. And the pious preacher says, look what God has done. You know, give God the glory and look what God has done. And the farmer scratched his head and said, but you should have seen it when God had it by Himself. That's when I learned of the area of cooperation. God has chosen us to cooperate with Him and what He has done, and you know, to for a work ethic, you know, and the idea that it is a place for work, you know, but there's a place for worship and praise too, and just loving, you know, if you as a husband stayed home all the time and just loved your wife, my wife, get out of here, you know, I mean, get out and go to work, but there's a balance. Right, let me say this. You don't learn to worship on Sunday morning at 11 o'clock. You really don't. You know, a lot of times, a lot of these hymns that we do and all, we have a time of praise and worship. We sing a praise hymn. You know, and that's our part of worship. That's our part of praise and worship. But you don't learn to do it. And let me give you, these are some steps. Learning to be a people of praise. Here's some three areas that will help you. If you want to try this, and to learn to worship and praise and be free in the Lord. And I'm not trying to get you to do anything. I have to preface this. Even going through these charismatic things and all like that. And once they you hear the word charismatic, you'll get defensive. And what is he going to do? And we have pastors' conferences and retreats down there at our church. And one of the things I have to do is to tell them, just relax. I'm not trying to get you to raise your hand. I'm not trying to get you to do anything except show your love to the Lord. You know, and I can get all of you to raise your hands, you know, just by y'all being obedient, you know. And, there's a difference in form and reality. You can go around raising your hands all you want to, you know. And raising your hands doesn't make you spiritual. You know, trying sometimes. I remember the first time, you know. And it's really hard to judge same time as you're worshiping, too. So don't, you know, let somebody else do it. So anyway, this is what I like we do. Take time to be alone with God, and I think all of you have a quiet time. And so this will be just a tacked on to your quiet time. All by yourself, away from anyone who can hear you or disturb you. Just try this somehow. Get by yourself a regular time and to be alone with the Lord. And sometimes you just feel dirty. If you've got sin in your life, and you've been disobedient, then you need to feel dirty. And when you see the Lord, and if there's sin in your life, unconfessed sin, then you need to get that right. So one of the things you might just get on the floor and get on your face before God and just say, "How disobedient I've been! How terrible I've been! I failed today. I failed yesterday." You know, there's a time to be sorry for your sin, sorry under repentance. You know, but I worked with a pastor who never did get off his face. You know, I mean that it's tragic. I want to say, "Hey, man, God has forgiven us, and you can be forgiven, and He's lifted me up on heavenly places." You know, but he never would get up. And he was unfiltered rags before the Lord. You know anybody like that? You know anybody that's just been beat down by that formal life? And all, and we've got somebody named Titusville. They can't get past that. He can't realize that God has given him a new heart. Wants to give him a new heart. He keeps holding on to his old one, I guess. I don't know what he's doing. You know, my tendency is to be on the other side of the union, and joyous and happy and excited about it. But whatever seems fitting as you're alone with God. You know, I've never raised my hands for you before. And I can give you some scriptures, you know, "Thy loving kindness is sweeter than life," you know, the Psalms. And Timothy said something about raising holy hands before the Lord. Here's the thing, I'm not trying to get you to do anything, but what you got concept in your life, you know, you've got in pictures right now, all them people. I saw them people one time, all them people, they're all raising their hands. I didn't know what that was, you know. So just kind of disregard some of your preconceived ideas. But try it by yourself. You know, somebody said one time that the raising of the hands meant total surrender. You know, in the old westerns, you know, it's, "Oh, take them out." But you caught a fellow like this, you know. You know he wasn't totally surrendered. You know, he's going to reach for it. "Don't reach for it, you know." Total surrender. But that's not theological. All right, but what I want you to do is, number one, try it. Just don't be afraid to try it. You might get happy before the Lord, and you know, just like a slam dunk. You know, that's exciting to me. You know, and All right, but you won't do that. You become mature and sophisticated and reverent. Let me give you this idea of reverence. We're going to try this in one of our either morning sessions or evening sessions. Make a joyful noise. All I've been hearing about, make disciples. You know, another thing in Scripture is make a joyful noise. You know, one of the things I use whenever the people are fellowshipping together, you know, and you know, whenever I turn y'all loose and you're talking and you ever try to record that. It's, you know, just noise. But I think it's a joyful noise, and it's just a sweet savor to God whenever His people are rejoicing with each other and loving each other. And we had times sometimes, you know, we've been in groups before where everybody spreads out and you get about in threes and everybody's praying around. You know, if you just stop and listen to it, it's just noise. I know God's pleased with that, with a joyful noise. You know, and now someone's someone said they don't believe in the secret rapture, that you know, one day everybody's going to be gone, you know, where they go and everything. And I know it's scripture, but I was just, somebody was saying that, because he's going to come with a shout. You know, God's going to come with a shout, a trumpet. And I was reading in the Old Testament where one group was just told to play the trumpet continuously before the ark. A group of them out there playing the trumpet before the Lord and just making, you know, making a joyful noise. The psalmist in, here's three, well, four references in Psalm 33:3, Psalm 98:4 and 6, and Psalm 101, make a joyful noise unto the Lord. You can look up those scriptures, but before the week's over, we'll get together. We're going to make a joyful noise. We're going to just shout, hallelujah, praise you. All right. And the last basketball game with you were, and if we watch Oklahoma and Indiana State, that's going to get exciting. So I think joyful and a loud noise. Might as well not. I just some people are going to have a cultural shock when they're going to heaven. They're going to keep a group of them over here in one area, just kind of let them gradually, you know, into the big hall, you know, because it's going to scare them to death when they're going to, because of the praise and the worship that's going on. God has made everything. We're told, and we're to make disciples and make a joyful noise, and we'll keep it in that order this week, okay? All right, make disciples and make a joyful noise. So we'll get a chance to make a joyful noise. That's why you need to get by yourself and nobody can hear you. Crazy. What is going on? Hallelujah, Lord, praise your name. Well, that's kind of hard for me to do, you know. But it's some area that you just need to get freed up in an area of making a joyful noise. Showing your love to the Lord. I visited some churches, you know, with the elders and the deacons, you know, and they start singing the chorus. That, you know, they have a time whenever they're ministering, and whenever they were singing and praising the Lord, and some of the choruses got a little excited, you know. And I looked over, man, it's fell over there. Luke's was on, and real distinguished looking fellow. And, you know, he was over there. Dancing before the morning. So I'm not there either, you know. But to give that person the freedom to do that, you know, and give somebody else the freedom to, you know, to be quiet and to be reverent. Don't argue with God. Number two is don't argue with God. God often uses a closet time to begin to break down our barriers of traditionalism. Oh, man, I'm hard time getting my breath. I guess it's at high altitude. Down in Florida, we four people drowned the other day walking down the street. You know, the verse. this number two. Do you mean a scripture reference? Oh, that would. I don't know. No, I don't. I can find one. Y'all find one for me, okay? God often uses a closet time. Well, I mean, an idea of submission and everything, I guess, to begin to break down our barriers of traditionalism. When we are in God's presence, we need to be open to His suggestion. He may nudge us to stand, you know. When we sing that, you are Lord, or He is Lord, every knee shall bow, you know. I like to sometimes just bow. And every knee shall bow and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. You know? So a lot of times we're not in a position, but sometimes in your quiet time, you just, every knee shall bow, and boy, just bow down. Just practice some of those things by yourself so nobody won't tell us weird. Right? Then, you know, what would you do Sunday morning? Sunday night at your church, and you start saying, He is Lord, He is Lord, you know. Every knee shall bow, every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. But we're not that free. He may want us to stand, kneel, lift our hands, sing, bow before Him, shout, or dance. Any one or all of his suggestions may be contrary to our customary way of worshiping. But he just wants us to come free. And that's not to get you all riled up so we can come to the big auditorium and do all these things. That's just a personal thing with you. You know, make it personal with you. I did, well, that's not my nature. You know, well, God can change your nature. You know, nature change your business. Right? We need to practice. Most Christians think that the ability to praise God, singing and speaking to Him openly and lovingly, is a rare gift to only a chosen few. I don't believe this is true. To enter into this type of worship freely, one must try it out in your own closet time. That's why I said before, you don't learn to worship on Sunday morning or at a conference with everybody looking around. And worship, and what I'm talking about, there's a lot of forms of worship, you know, giving yourself to God. But let me go through some choruses. As I've said before, take some of the hymns that we have and turn them around and sing them to the Lord. We've been doing this. My pastor cannot sing. He'll tell you that. And he cannot sing. But praise the Lord, he's overcome that. He sings all the time. One morning, he's got his lapel mic, you know, and he's got one of the FM mics or something, you know, that's wireless. You know, he made an announcement and went back to sit down. And he started singing, and he got to turn it off. You know, and he went, and the choir was, they taught part of it. To keep this balance, of course, you that are not singable, you know, that don't have a voice that's pleasing to the neighbor or whatever, overcome this. Let me read you this quick little story and help you. The Lamplighter Cafeteria in Fort Myers, Florida, was humming with activity. This is getting your motives straight. With activity, when I arrived to go through the evening serving line, he was supposed to speak at this meeting, and it was the heart of the winter tourist season, and most of the people in the cafeteria were retirement age. The same proved true when I joined the group in the side room for the time of fellowship. In fact, looking around, it seemed I was the youngest person in the meeting. We sang a few songs, there were some testimonies, and then just before I spoke, the president announced a special musical number by the chapter senior duet. Everybody present seemed to know the two old men who stood to sing, so I sat back and relaxed, trying to collect my thoughts before I stood to speak. But it was impossible to collect my thoughts. The two men, both of them well into their retirement years, were accompanying themselves musically. One was playing a guitar, the other a banjo with only three strings. One string was missing for a year, he apologized, and the other had broken while he was trying to tune the instrument just before the meeting. To make matters worse, the three remaining strings were out of tune. But so was the guitar, so it didn't make any sense. And after some preliminary plunking and strumming, trying to get the instruments in tune, the men gave up and began to sing, "When they ring those golden bells for you and me." It was bad. They started, one of them singing lead and the other tenor. Then they stopped. They decided to change parts and started again, this time both of them singing lead. Finally, after an embarrassing exchange of comments over who was to sing which part, they began a third time, both of them singing tenor. Undaunted, they painfully strummed and plucked through the first verse, "There's a land beyond the river that they call the sweet forever." Halfway through the chorus, another string on the banjo popped with a loud twang. This disconcerted the old man who was plucking. He forgot the words and started singing something else. I could hardly believe what I was hearing. I shuddered, embarrassed for them, embarrassed for the visitors present, and mortified that I was identified with all this. I tried to close my ears. I tried to think how I could overcome the horrible presentation when I stood up to speak. It was, without a doubt, the worst musical presentation I had ever heard. Yet the old men went on and on, obviously oblivious of my red face and twitching hands. God help us, I moaned inwardly. Then, just as clear as the sound of those golden bells the old men were singing about, he answered me in the deep place of my heart. "You think that sounds pretty awful, don't you?" "Oh, God, you know it. Would you like to know what I think about it?" I felt the hair begin to rise on the back of my neck. I had the feeling I had ventured out into an area where I had absolutely no business being. I was afraid to answer, afraid he would tell me what he thought. It didn't make any difference. He was telling me anyway. Those are two of my choicest saints. They stand and sing, knowing their voices are cracked and their instruments out of tune, because they love me. They are singing to my glory, and I have commanded all the angels in heaven to be quiet so I can hear them. I could hardly breathe. Oh God, what a fool I am. I hear up there in my room. Oh God, what a fool I am. I was listening with my ears rather than yours. That's right. Not only that, but you were judging them by worldly standards while I was judging them by kingdom standards. You were listening to how they sang. I was listening to why they sang. You know, so, you know, God honors. You know, you've got to know the Father. You got to know the Father. And the idea that God is a Father. He's your heavenly Father. And He loves you so much. And His love never changes. And you can sing to Him. Some of the hymns, that's why it's good to change some of the titles. Blessed be the name. Blessed be the name. We'll sing this week. You know, and He lives. Well, change. Just a little bit of change. What I'll say about my pastor. My pastor helps me. He'll come up. We'll be singing to him. And he says, "Hey, I just want to make a change. Let's change these words right here." And he just points right to the Lord. You live within my heart. You talk with me and walk with me along life's narrow way, whatever, you know. But just to change those words, you'll be surprised how many of them can change. Blessed be your name. Blessed be your name. Jesus is your name. Father is your name. Oh, well, you thank you. By turning it upward to Him and ministering to Him and singing to Him. Praise the Lord. We have some books written. You know, we'll sing a couple of hymns. But to God be the glory. Great things you have done. So love you the world that you gave us your Son. Praise you, Lord. Praise you, Lord. Let the earth hear your voice. Praise you, Lord. Praise you, Lord. Just by changing a few of the words. And that's during this time of your quiet time and worship time. Take some of these hymns, take some of these songs, and read them back to him. Just honor him. Not what, you know, so many times, the story was told of President Lincoln and a little lady that came and had an appointment with him. You know, and so he got up, sat her down, sat back, and said, "Now what can I do for you?" So, "Oh, nothing. I understood you liked some of these special cookies, and I brought you some cookies." You know, I just brought kids and imagine. Nobody's ever come to his office and given him cookies, you know, without expecting something. How many times have we just brought some cookies to the Lord? Lord, I just love you. Who you are. You know, that you made all this beautiful country. See, that's even getting to the point of he's done something for us. You catch yourself so many times, you know, I thank you, Lord, for giving me a safe trip, you know. It's something you've done for him. But sometimes just honoring for who he is. Okay? Glory to your name. Glory to his name. Glory to his name. Glory to your name. Glorious is your name, O Lord. Some of the hymns are written, holy, 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 Lord God Almighty. Some of them are written to him. I've got a bunch of choruses that let's just praise the Lord. You know, one like I just praise you, Lord. We'll probably do that this week. Just changing the words just a little bit around. You are Lord. You are Lord. You are risen from the dead and you are Lord. You know, He is Lord. Oh, how good is the Lord. That's another one. Oh, how good are you, Lord. We could go through a lot of them and show you. But just be thoughtful in this area. Jesus be the Lord of all. Have you heard that one? Jesus be the Lord of all. Jesus be the Lord of all the kingdoms of my heart. That's one that I think Larry Wolf or one of them has been saying. But Jesus, you're the Lord of all. Jesus, you're the Lord of all. Is it Larry Wolf? Is that right? Okay, we've got about 3 minutes. I think. But do you have any questions about any of this? I thought which way to go, you know, this morning. I could teach you a whole bunch of choruses, you know, but there, you know a lot of choruses. There's been already three suggested to me, you know, why don't we sing this one and this one and this one, you know, and then, so I'm going to have to stay with what I know. You know, I'd like to learn some new choruses and everything, but, so I thought maybe we'd just give some scripture background. And so make that a part of your quiet time, that love and adoration and praise. If you're holding anything back, it will be shown during that time. You know, if you're holding anything back, if you've got any reservations, see, just because we love with reservation, we think God loves with reservation. And but He doesn't. He loves us. 100%. He is love. He loves us as much 20 years from now as He loved us 20 years ago. Because of whom? Because of Jesus. Not anything we've done. What Jesus has done in our position in Him. Any questions? Yes?
Could you just real quick, I don't understand exactly the difference between praise and worship. Could you just have a real brief?
Yeah, look up, if you look up the two words, it'll help you. Worship, word, comes from the word, I did a study on it, and I don't know if I read it here or not. You can praise men. One of the differences is you can praise men, you can praise me, you can praise Max, you know, and legally, you know, I mean, spiritually or theologically you can praise Max, but you cannot worship me or you cannot worship Max. Only one is worthy of worship, and because he's worthy. The word worship comes from being worthy, and but it would be good for you to look up those two words in the word study, the difference in praise and worship. We can praise without worship. Anybody else? And during the week, you know, during the 2 or 3 days, if you have any questions you'd like to ask, I'll be glad to make myself available for some.
What was the second part of activity to become worthy of adoration?
Activities and activity can become the enemy of adoration as surely as service can become the substitute for submission and supplication. That's a whole term in there between service and submission. I'd rather have somebody, you know, as a father, I'd rather have my son submit to me than to do a bunch of stuff on me. You know, I mean, I'm going to cut the yard. You know, I'm going to do the thing. I'm going to take out the garbage. You know, he's doing all these service things. Wives submit to their husbands. I'm submissive. You know, submitting to each other. Okay? 4 to 10. You got 15 minutes to get back down the hill. That's about for prayer. Father, as always, I just ask you that anything that's been said is not of you, and just be forgotten. But Lord, if these things that have been said, I pray that they honor and glorify you in the lives of each person here. Lord, teach us that if we're worship leaders to lead people into looking to you and honoring you with our songs. We sing so many songs without you, Lord. We sing some songs to you. And honor you, Lord.